You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
This is 1FM, your community FM station. And right now, we're going to have a chat to Adrian. He's from the community engagement team of the CFA. And good morning, Adrian. How are you going?
Yeah, good morning, Dave. Yeah, really well, despite the Kenny Rogers voice this morning.
You don't like Kenny. You don't like country music. It's amazing how many people don't, actually. I've got a good friend. He knows where he works at the RSL, and he can't stand it. I said, look, when you're listening to the radio, I'll play a country song. Some people, you either do or you don't, and I understand that. Look, our audience is from 40 till death in theory, right? And you're going to have a bit of versatile there. People in their 40s to 50s and 60s love AC/DC. Yeah, it's a mixture. So long as you mix up the music, people will be all right, but you're not a Kenny Rogers man.
A lot of these bands, of course, have got people in their 70s and 80s still singing, haven't they? So it's not a surprise, but now I'm a bit croaky and husky, but you know.
You reckon you could do karaoke? Could you do karaoke?
I don't think the world's ready for me doing karaoke, Dave.
Give it a go. If you if you were cornered at a CFA party, a CFA breakup for the year, would you end up getting up and singing under pressure?
Absolutely not.
Well, at least you're honest, Adrian, which is fantastic. Well, how's life in the CFA and what have you been up to? I noticed you had a burnout out at Marupna on Sunday.
Yeah, we had
a controlled burnout.
Yeah, we had a planned burn at Marupna. And that's what I think is largely responsible for the croaky voice. I went out there with some crew from Tally Garupna. We had brigades from Marupna who were really running it. It's their patch. Northwest Marupna, Shep East, Tally Garupna and Talamba came along. So there was a good crew there. Plus, we were privileged to have one of the burn specialists from the Yorta Nation came along and talked to us as well about some of the cultural aspects to burning. But we burnt 2.3 hectares along the causeway there, Dave, between back towards Marupna from Kidstown, along to the bridge, and probably, you know, 30 metres in from the roadside. But you were saying earlier, I think you drove through it.
Yeah, we come after country music. I compared country music on the day. And Rose and I were heading home and we had all these cones on the road. And I said, oh, this is going to be a controlled burnout by the look of it. They're burning off. And we missed all the big smoke, but very good. They had game people on the road with the cones so that, diverted to one lane, but for obvious reason. Heaps of guys and ladies with the CFA putting out the fires. And the interesting thing there is the controlled burn. You had all these young trees and they are still alive and you didn't burn. Whereas if I did something like that, all your wonderful, nice young trees would be burnt because I'm not that good. How do you do that? You're very well controlled, you guys and ladies.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, going back to your first point, it is very controlled. We did have traffic management there, although the road didn't get closed. Hmm. Thing I'm minded of, though, is that I was driving the truck in that controlled area.
Yeah.
And we tend to follow the people that are setting fire with the torches down to make sure we protect them. But at times there, it was virtually, it was very, very difficult to see. Mm. And I think for everybody that drove through that smoke, you know, they've now had an experience of driving through smoke without panic. Yeah. You can imagine why we say now, don't drive through smoke if you're in an emergency situation and get out well before. Yeah. As to the trees, part and parcel of the proper term for what we were doing the other day was a reset. So it burns, it's not forest fire heat intensity, but it burns a lot of the weeds. So that'll come back up now.
Yeah.
And some of those, scrubby wattles and, small little saplings that have come up after the rain, they'll have been cleaned up and killed, and that's what they want to achieve. But the big trees, they spend a lot of time before the fire, Dave, going through and identifying the trees that must be kept, the big habitat trees. And,
really?
and if you were to have a look, and I don't advise this while you're scooting down there, but you can go in there and have a look, and you can see marks on the trees that tell us certain things about,
coded.
And the danger of the trees when we're actually doing that work, if there's hangers up there. But a lot of those trees, and this is the work that goes on beforehand as well as the planning around traffic, is they'll go in and actually scrape away all the soil and the and the rubbish from underneath those trees out to
yep.
a couple of meters nice. To create a little island. So
that's how you do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it, protect those big trees. So there's days and days and days of work going prior to that burn.
Didn't even know any of that. Yeah,
and we lit up at 3 o'clock, and I think we were still. Well, we left at Tanning Group and the Brigade left at 8:30, and the guys would have still been patrolling for 2 or 3 days after that to make sure that everything was good.
Just in case, but gee, it was really well done.
And we were really happy with that burn. It was a pretty complete burn, and took out a lot of rubbish and blackberries and all of that type of thing. But it just reminded us as well, of course, why was it a good burn? Because it's still very dry.
Yeah.
And in fact, yesterday in the wind, I know a number of brigades in our area were called out to a number of separate fires, with one over in northwest Marupna being fairly large. I think that still took 20 trucks.
Gee.
And you were talking about moderate fire conditions on the way in this morning.
Yeah.
We still ask people out now that fire restrictions have been lifted. We still ask people to sort of pay attention to what they're trying to burn and make sure they're taking all the precautions, they don't get out of hand, because
you need to, don't you?
Until we get some rain, things can move very, very quickly, particularly given a wind behind them through grasslands and that type of thing.
We're still in a dangerous situation, aren't we, really?
Yeah, and there was something on your news at 10 o'clock. I think there was, although it said the fire danger periods are over, there was some discussion there about last year between December and April, there were about 10,000 fires.
Wow, that's a lot.
And we dealt with 14,000 this year.
Gee.
In the same period. So it's half as much again.
Yeah.
And if you cast your mind back on the fire danger period, some of those were some big ones down in the Grampians and Beaufort.
Yeah,
and
I remember those.
Yeah, those sorts of things.
Once it gets in that whole bush like that, it's awful to try and put out. And, you're going up hills and bush scrub.
And you had a taste of that. You'd had a taste of what it's like to be by the side of the fire on Marupna on Sunday, of course. Yeah. So let's one plea is to keep on being careful out there, really. I did notice from the truck... I'd love to have seen more cars with headlights on driving through that fog, driving through that smoke.
Yeah.
And I've got ahead of myself in my brain because we're getting some foggy mornings. So now as people are driving in the twilight zone or in the dark and foggy mornings, just help yourself on the road and help everybody else and make sure you can be seen at dawn and dusk and in the fog. And that was just a reminder for me on Sunday to perhaps mention that, because we don't want to, we want to keep road trauma, road accidents to a minimum, because it tends to be volunteers that tend to go to those sorts of things.
I know, and you got to sort of pick up the mess that other people create.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's what we do willingly, but
it's sad.
There's a lot of people affected by road trauma, so anything to minimise that. But anyway, that was a bit of chit chat. I didn't really want to talk about that greatly.
Sorry, I led you astray.
That's maybe you, Dave, but. But that's good enough. No, I thought what we might concentrate on now for the next two or three visits would be around the home and home fire safety. So I'll kick that off this morning. We'll come back and actually expand that discussion over the next couple of three sessions.
Sure.
But I think you'll remember me talking last year about home fires. Yeah, from memory, there's something around about 3,000 home fires every year in Victoria. And
stunning amount.
Sadly, somewhere around about 18 or 20 people lose their lives every year in house fires.
Mm.
So they're things of great consequence. We don't need to go too much more into that. But if I concentrate for the next few minutes on where fires actually start, we can contrast fires... from each other in the home to saying, well, most fires will start in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But the beauty of kitchens is they tend to happen when we're awake and when we're cooking, unsurprisingly. And, really 5 o'clock in the afternoon is a peak time for 000 calls to call for the fire service to come and to attend.
It's amazing,
to attend fires. And it's quite logical if you think about it. And yeah, we're responding to kitchen fires caused really by unattended cooking, where people have lost, been distracted or lost concentration, or undergoing, exotic cooking techniques or whatever it happens.
So mainly it's around tea time, would you
tea
say?
Tea time,
Between, say, 6 and 8.
Yeah, 5 o'clock's the peak. So you think about, that's when people are eating, isn't it?
They're trying to make their thing. So
cooking in the kitchen is the single largest cause of a fire in the home. And a fire in the kitchen, as we've discussed before, and if you've had the misfortune to know one, they can cause a great deal of damage. I think a majority of kitchens are open plan, so there's smoke spreading through the house and all of that type.
Some of those old commission homes, many years ago, I grew up in one, and the head over the stove, the flue, and that could easily get a lot of fluff up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were always told that if you don't clean up there, you could just bang, lose it, and up she goes.
Absolutely. And of course, we've got a modern version of the flue now. But, so kitchen fires are also responsible for a high level of personal injury, so burns and that type of thing, whether it's the cooker or the child pulling the pan down.
Which is so easy. You've got to keep kids out of the kitchen while you're cooking.
Or turn the handles around and all that type of thing. So we need... We need to pay attention to people in the kitchen. So pay attention when you're in the kitchen. So we often say, keep looking while you're cooking, and don't become distracted. So really stay in the kitchen, never leave cooking unattended. And of course, we'd all have great motives for that. But what happens when the doorbell rings or the phone rings or you wander off or all those types of things?
If you're lucky, you can get somebody else to do it if they decide to.
Or switch it off for a minute or two if it's going to be...
It's even better.
We don't think about that. So then of course, if something catches fire, where's it going to catch fire? It's sort of, very often the stovetop. We need the stovetop nice and clean. The grill nice and clean, the oven nice and clean, and of course your modern flue is what we would call range hoods now.
Okay,
if you think about it. So what's the first thing we do when we cook is we switch those on. It draws all the air up in there and shoves it into the roof. So those things need to have a good, the filters in those need to be checked regularly and cleaned,
right?
Because they're grease traps.
Yes, I agree with that, sir.
You think about it, you get a fire on the stovetop. Where's the fire going to go? It goes straight up into the grease. And there's a fan behind it that sort of pulls it further, and we end up with fires in roofs and that type of thing.
Explains a few things.
So that cooking area really must be kept clean from grease and dust and oil. And keep things away that might catch fire. So, how easy is it to throw a tea towel down or a paper towel down close to the to the source of heat?
They catch fire anything too.
Keep those away while you're cooking in heat sources. Make sure all your appliances are in good order, and that's the toaster and the sandwich maker and all of those sorts of bits and pieces. And we mentioned about children. It's fun for mum and dad to cook with children, but think about the dangers and keep them away from the big risk.
True.
And keep them away from the stovetop and the oven when they might burn themselves and those handles, And then I guess if we do get a fire in the kitchen, this is where a fire extinguisher and a fire blanket are helpful. So there are ways of using fire blankets, which you can, no doubt Google and...
Where do you get them from?
At hardware stores.
So Bunnings
Those sorts of places.
So easy to come by. Fire blankets.
Whoever sponsors you would be the place to get a fire blanket from.
Yeah.
They're about $10 a time. Hang them up, not over the stove, but somewhere that they're accessible.
Somewhere close where you can grab it.
And once you've draped a fire blanket, if it's safe to do so and you're confident to do so, you pop that over a pot. And you don't lift it off, you don't lift it off to see how it's going.
No, that was stop the oxygen off. In theory, is that correct?
Start the oxygen and leave it there because the heat will still be there for it to reignite, particularly if they're cooking oils and that type of thing.
Yeah.
So, and then similarly, a fire extinguisher, that's going to help you and buy a few seconds to get out of the house. They're not going to put a house fire out. They're going to buy a bit of time. And if you do get you only use them if you're physically, mentally able to use them. And if you do get a fire in the kitchen, like any fire in the home, call 000 because we can come in with thermal imaging cameras and see where there might be some hidden damage and that type of thing. Generally sort you out.
A lot we don't think of, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Now, that's where we get most fires.
Yeah.
But where we lose most people where they sleep.
In the bedroom.
Or the living room.
Mm, yeah. The living room too, yes.
So, so you wouldn't fit into this, and neither would any of your listeners, but yeah, how often do you doze off in the chair at night?
Oh, every night. 5 o'clock with me. Because well, I get up early too, see, so it knocks you around a bit.
Well,
yeah, 5 o'clock for a quick doze, but even at night time, and the old days you used to smoke and then the smoke would cause it. Yeah.
Yeah.
People, hopefully people don't smoke in their lounge rooms now, but well, some still do, don't they?
Well, some people probably still smoke in their beds.
And that's excellent dangerous.
Yeah. So never smoke in bed, but... yeah, and then other heat sources that we might have that might cause fire would be portable heaters and fireplaces unattended.
Yeah.
So really they need to be, you know, a heater should be turned off and fireplace embers, you know, patted down or ideally extinguished or whatever it is, but at least safe with fire guards around them and that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then we've talked about rechargeable appliances like lithium batteries, but not just a lithium battery, but... Yeah, things like hair dryers, hair straighteners, laptops, you know, let's not be, yeah, once they're used, let them cool down before you put them away. Don't leave them on soft furnishings and all of that type
that's
of
right.
thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And turn off heaters and ideally other electrical appliances before going to bed.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of those people that with their scooters, they insist on charging them overnight. Not a good idea with those.
Yeah.
Not with those type of batteries, is it? You better not to do it just during the day, a couple of hours.
Best to do it during the day. We've talked about lithium before, and we'll round back out on it. But I think there was something I was reading the other day that Victoria firefighters reckon they were going to a lithium battery fire a day now.
I'm not surprised.
And they can go off, very violently. So we're prepared for that. Well, not prepared for it. We're seeing more and more of it.
They're
very difficult to control, which is why we say only use reputable goods, decent, you know, good batteries. Batteries, if they're looking like they're swelling or whatever, yeah, they should be discarded and disposed of properly, not in the bin, but down to the recycling centre. And never leave them, you know, in direct sunlight when you're charging them, because that will add to heat. But also don't leave them overnight charging.
No.
And lithium batteries are in everything. They're in our watches, they're in our phones, they're in our computers, they're in scooters, they're all those sorts of things. Let's be careful.
Take a lot for granted, don't we? Really?
Absolutely. So if we're going to bed, you know, electric blankets on for 30 minutes before you go, turn them off as you snuggle into bed so you don't fall asleep with them on. Turn your heaters off, other electrical appliances off before going to bed. And keep checking for broken controls and bad wires, and I'll have more to say about electrical fires and electrical safety next time round.
Sure.
The only other thing I'd say is you talked about candles. Yeah, you talked about cigarettes and smoking. Make sure candles and cigarettes are out properly.
That's right.
And don't put your washing machine and tumble dryers on overnight.
No, that's another dangerous point that you just brought up too. Yeah, the lint in that, and they get hot, the old dryers, don't they?
Yeah, well, dryers are designed to, and maybe we'll talk about this in the laundry, but just as a quickie, dryers are designed to have a part of their cycle to cool down.
Right.
But they do use we know they use a lot of power. That power is heat.
Yeah.
If something, bit like, you know, use them in the daytime when you can see them.
Yeah,
let's not be using them in the night time or on timers and that type of thing where something something might happen. And the trick with all of this, as you know, Dave, if there's a fire in the house, the quickest way we're going to detect that is to have plenty of smoke alarms.
That's right.
Preferably interconnected in the sleeping areas, because as we discussed before, you can't smell the smoke.
No.
Yeah, they're going to wake you up. They're going to give you the moments that you need to get out of the house. And again, over the next couple of 3 months, we'll talk about escape plans and behaviours there. But just as a kick-off of that little series of chats, yeah, that's where fires occur.
They do, don't they?
Kitchen and cooking, we can do something about that by paying attention.
We can.
Yeah, sleeping areas tend to be more consequential and fatal.
So you really need those smoke detectors in the bedroom.
Absolutely.
For your own safety. Thank you very much for your time coming in this morning. We really do appreciate that. And we'll catch up with you in June, which would be good if you're free, probably the second week in June around 11:30. We've been talking to Adrian. He's part of the community engagement team of the CFA. You take care, look after yourself, and thank you very much for your time.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.